Before I get into this fire that destroyed this insanely beautiful house, I want to commend the departments that fought this fire in Edgeworth the other night. My goodness, this mansion caught fire. Man, and I'm telling you, these teams got there in a hurry. They saved lives. And I got word from the family that Dad was running into the flames and saving his kids. As this house, I posted the pictures on social. It's hard to imagine that kind of a fire in your house. It's a big family. It's a great family. It's a historic home. And man, it was burning big time. And the house has so much value in terms of history and what it means to that community because it's so historic. However, let me say this. I understand that Dad was a little banged up because he had to run into the fire and save his kids. God bless him. Look, it's horrible to have your house burned and horrible to try to recover. But you can replace a house. You cannot recover from the loss of a child or a loved one in a fire. And these departments, including Ross and Westview, and the folks that responded to this massive fire in Edgeworth, you did an amazing job. Berkeley Hills, Carnegie, Marshall Township, North Fayette. Man, single three-story house, smoke, fire showing. Man, devastating. And this house has history and meaning, which my close friend Maureen is so aware of. Good afternoon, my dear. How are you?
Hey, Marty. I'm well.
You're here with, are you there with Lou?
I'm here, Marty.
Her and her husband. Hey, Lou, your take when you saw these pictures of this fire, devastating, right?
Oh, horrible. Horrible.
And you guys have a history in this house that's magnificent and marvelous, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's our dearest friend's former home.
We had many, many a holiday there, lots of Christmas parties. All of our friends from St. James and the Stookley area, our neighbors, they shared this house with everybody. And that's why so many of us are devastated and sad for the entire community as well as the family who lives there now.
How did you guys find out? I know you live in the area, but how did you get word that this was happening?
I got a phone call from Paul, the previous owner.
Wow.
He contacted me. Yeah. And then, of course, the word got out real fast on Facebook and such. And the people that I work with here were getting phone calls because we all know them very, very well. They're very, very, they're good churchgoers here and wonderful people. He called me.
I tell you what, Lou and Maureen, all I know is as soon as I heard this was happening, I was texting people I know in fire departments. And all I wanted to know was, did the kids get out? And I know you were thinking the same thing, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The house is so huge,
yep.
Marty. The bedrooms are everywhere in that house. And to get everyone together, that was miraculous.
Hey,
huge, many, many bedrooms.
Hey, Lou, did you? Those flames were insane, man. Insane.
I know. They're crazy. I know. This was nuts. I have to give credit to Emsworth Fire Department,
yep,
too, because if it wasn't for one of those guys that took those pictures, there really wouldn't be any close-up photos of the fire.
And they had kids as young as 10. This could have been horrible.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying, guys?
Yep. It could have been really, really terrible. And kudos to that dad who said, hey, I'm going back in there to get my last child. I mean, it could have really been horrible.
You know, Maureen, I talked to some firefighting arson guys, and they heard that Dad ran in to save his kids. And you would have done the same thing. I would have done the same thing. But
sure,
the experts say oftentimes when Dad or someone goes in, they don't come back out. So it's a miracle that he lived, isn't it?
You know,
thanks to our son, who is super safety conscious, we have ladders in our house. We've talked about drills.
Oh.
Yep. Yep, we have it right beside our bed. The kids know where it is.
Yeah, chain letters.
Hit the tree.
Wow.
All of this stuff. Yep. There was a devastating fire in Slipwick Village proper about 3 years ago, right near Centennial, where Shane lives, is our son. And it shook us up so much that we all have the fire safety equipment in our house now.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, guys, I love you. I love you. And I love that everybody got okay. It's hard, though, to ever make a house this distinct the same again, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is, Marty. The thing has a lot of history. A lot of history.
Yeah, we're just going to hold on to the memory super tight today.
Yeah. Kind of sad.
Hey, if we can help in any way, please let us know. All right, guys?
Thanks, Marty. I know you will. You always do.
I love you both. Thank you.
Love you too, Marty. Thank you.
Now, I didn't want to drag them into this aspect of this fire, but I think it's significant as hell. And Patrick knows this because we've had this conversation with so many fires we've been to. Right now, early reports indicate that in all likelihood, this fire was started by a candle burning. And these are the early indications, the early investigation started by a candle in one of the kids' rooms. Patrick won't be astounded by these numbers, but you may be, folks. Up to 10, this is shocking, up to 10,000 fires every year caused by candles. Up to 90 deaths, 650 injuries, $290 million in damages. Patrick, we've been to these homes where a kid left a candle burning because kids don't pay attention, right?
Nope. Whether it's a kid leaving a candle yep. burning or even an adult and a pet knocks it over yep. when you're not at home, or even if you are at home, we see this time in, time out. It is absolutely dangerous, and people need to be aware of what they're doing with open flames.
I am not judging. My daughter Chloe loves candles. And my wife saw this last night. I was sitting there talking to her about this. And she immediately called Chloe and said, no more candles in the house. It's actually something that we all have to be aware of, do we not, Patrick?
We do. And, you know, they're fine to have in the house, but you can't leave them unattended.
You can't.
So if you're doing other things in the house and you're not in the room where that candle's burning, you need to put it out. You can't let it just burn.
And again,
that's where some of the, if it's about the scent, these yep, yep. automatic diffusers yep. are a much safer option.
Hey, have you had this conversation with your son?
Oh, yeah. Oh, unfortunately, yeah. He doesn't really like to burn candles. And my wife has no sense of smell, so she doesn't bother with candles anymore.
I am not disrespecting this family. God bless them. And Dad, I know who you are. You're a heroic man. I'd have done the same damn thing. But Patrick, as you know, oftentimes when Dad runs back in, Dad dies too. So this is a miracle in itself, is it not?
Absolutely. To have no serious injuries out wow. of this is a complete miracle. I mean, you saw the flames coming out of that house.
Wow.
My goodness.
Patrick, you saw the... That's insane. To imagine, Patrick, wow. that insanely intense fire. We have all the pictures on social. Started with a candle. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Kids don't grasp that, do they, Patrick?
Kids don't. A lot of adults still
that's
don't.
That's true.
And fire spreads very quickly. If you've got... You know, you may have some pretty drapes, but that doesn't mean they're not flammable.
All right.
The cellulose blinds that are hanging on your house or the Roman shade, all of those things can catch fire.
To Patrick's point, you cannot leave this unattended. I want to throw these numbers out one more time. I want to scare you into talking to your kids or anyone else that uses candles. All the kids in this house got out safely. I'm told there are five or six kids. Number two, 60 to 100 people die every year in fire started by candles. Number three, 650 injuries in fire started by candles. And number four, $290 million in damage in fires started by candles. Please talk to your kids or anyone in your house that uses candles. Another fire, big time fire in the last few weeks, started by accident by someone walking away from a grill. You got to hear this next. I got to get to some breaking news involving the Mills Mall. It's actually interesting. In this ridiculous company, Namdar, that runs it. You got to hear this in a second, but I want to mention one more fire. I love a Charlie Batch. Wonderful man. Wonderful community leader. Wonderful. Wonderful. A charity. Helps so many kids. The Best of Batch Foundation. They had a really big fire a couple weeks ago. And it caused, actually the second, it caused major damage. Major. To his facility. And I actually reached out to Charlie and said, let us help you, man. He felt so bad about it, quite frankly. He didn't want to come on the air. He felt so bad about this fire. Now, again, I preface this by saying I am not judging. They're wonderful people, and we all make mistakes. And the same thing with that fire at that mansion. Some kid left a candle, lit some curtains, boom, the house is gone. It's that fast. With the fire at the Batch Foundation in Munhall, someone was cooking outside. See, people do this, man. They leave the grills on. Someone was cooking outside. This was 2 weeks ago. They forgot to turn the fryer off. By the way, I've seen this happen. The oil caught fire, okay, and then the propane tank released, and boom, a significant amount of damage. I am not judging. All I'm suggesting is whether it's a kid with a candle or someone running a grill behind the Batch Foundation, we have to be almost obsessive in the rules when we're using this sort of apparatus, and everybody involved has to know the ramifications and the possible horrific damage that can occur. We have friends that left a grill unattended on their back porch. The grill caught fire. The grill caught the siding of the house on fire and burned the house down. Several thousand fires a year started by candles. Several thousand fires a year started by unattended grills. You blow this stuff off and it happens. But by the way, we've all done it. I've left candles in a room. I have left grills unattended and just been lucky. But I'm not doing it anymore. I got to transition, and this is something that Patrick's aware of because he's driven this route. In fact, it was Patrick that broke this story. He was driving his car in the Mills area where that ridiculous, idiotic company runs that mall, Namdar. And we posted this video, was it a couple years ago now, hasn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, I think it's been almost 2 years ago now.
And Patrick, that video went viral and people went berserk. What was happening on that road and why did that video have such impact?
Because it was like driving on the surface of the moon. It was damaging car after car, day after day, thousands of dollars of damage, you know, throughout a couple of hours every day.
And Namdar
was doing nothing to fix it.
Namdar has a horrendous reputation. Is it 17 million in fines? It's high.
I think it was higher than that at one point.
They blow off everyone. So here's what happened this morning. Namdar, by the way, I love the DA's office. I love Zapala and his people for saying we're going after Namdar. This is why I love the actions of this DA's office. Without Zapala, without these investigators, this Namdar company, which is notorious for running down malls and ignoring their duties. Zapala said, screw it. We're going to charge you. So, check this out. Namdar was scheduled for criminal trial here in Allegheny County on the 27th. What is it, the 14th? So 13 days. This morning, check this out. A contract was just signed with Namdar and a major paving company. The paving will commence at the Pittsburgh Mills Mall site within a week. The company is highly regarded, and they're a great contractor. D. Cole Contracting is going to do the work. Patrick, it took a criminal case and a threat of jail time for the owners to get this done, but hoping this happens this time, because this promise has been made before, hasn't it, sir?
It has been made before, and they've hired reputable companies
they
before,
have.
Too, and then failed to pay them. So, well, the plan sounds wonderful.
Yep.
We'll see if, when it's executed.
Right on. But this deal was signed this morning. I commend the hell out of the DA's office and Zapala's investigators who said, we're not going to let them get away with this. What saddens me is Namdar has just taken over the mortgage at Gateway, which is where Patrick and I worked for a significant amount of time. And we all know the history of Gateway Center and the buildings there. We can only hope that they conduct their business better when they're running a mortgage than when they're running a mall. They have been horrible with how they've managed Pittsburgh Mills. Horrible with how they responded to allegations. Horrible by ignoring $17 million in fines. But the DA said, hey, big man, Mr. Namdar, Mr. Rich Guy, I'll throw your ass in jail. And I think, and I know Zapala means it, and I hope that Namdar sticks to it and does the paving. It's that bad, Patrick. It's like Beirut. It's like the service of the moon, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, and it started getting worse again out there. Oh. I was out there a few weeks ago, and it started to creep back up.
It's horrible. All right, folks, we will hold them to it. That's breaking news. Lot going on. Before we get to that, by the way, Jay Costa, state leader who I love, just texted me screaming about what Kim Ward had to say about transportation. I just heard Kim Ward blaming the governor and Democrats for taking transit off the table. Totally untrue. We're going to get into that and the details of that in about a half hour. Meantime, two things. I got my boy Tony on hold. I'm going to get to him in a second, but I wanted to address something Patrick sent before the break. The Best of the Batch Foundation fire. First, we talked about the house lit by a candle. That's the early indication, which is crazy. $300 million in damage from candle fires in homes every year. About 100 people killed, 700 injured. Then the grill fires. According to investigators, a Semin left the grill unattended at the Batch Foundation down Munhall. The grease caught fire, caught the propane on fire, and caused insane damage. Patrick pulled some numbers. Damn, brother. Insane number of fires caused by grills. Yes? Wow.
I'm surprised the number was as high as it is. More than 12,000 home fires involving grills, hibachis, or barbecues every year.
Wow.
Yep.
I have walked away from mine and went onto the back porch, and the entire grill was on fire. And I had to put it out. And it was dangerous as hell. And we all walk away from our grills, but this is very dangerous. Then you sent me some pics.
20% of them.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
So about 20% of them, it's because the grills are too close to things that burn, like your house or the siding or people that put them close to their garage or an overhang of some sort. So there are flammable things people are putting close to their grills.
And then you sent me these crazy pics from your house last night in Phoenix and the wind. Damn, what happened in your grill?
Yeah, we had really strong winds and some driving rain. And like my backyard got blown around pretty good. My grill actually got flipped over.
Wow.
It's on its back right now. When we get out of the show today, I've got to go pick all the pieces up and put it back together.
All right.
But I already made sure that the propane tank is good and it's not leaking.
Thanks, Pat. I wanted to engage Tony here because Tony gives a damn and he's fed up. Good afternoon, Tony. How are you, brother?
Not too bad. I'm kind of, you know, I don't know how I'm feeling. I got mixed emotions with all this stuff there, but I thank you for taking the time to let me, you know, frustrate a little bit because this is frustrating what's going on in my neighborhood, Marty.
Right on.
I'm tired of it.
Tony.
You know, and the city keeps putting me up in the, some kind of basket. It ain't even funny. I don't even know where to begin anymore.
Tony, lay it out. Lay it out. What's happening along California Avenue, sir?
Well, this will be, in reality, the third meeting, one got canceled, so in reality, it's four.
Wow.
And, you know, they want me to take pictures and document. I was documenting stuff for 20 years, and they don't do nothing.
Wow.
But that's the thing, and they want me to, because I got redistricted to another council person, and this is his first appearance, supposedly, going to come up at this walkthrough.
Wow.
And I have disabilities, Marty, and I can't be doing this forever.
No, hey, Tony, tell our listeners what's happening there on a daily basis, brother.
Well, there's, you know, made of several issues, and I'll try to be brief. But the most important thing is the drug activity. And you can't catch them. And the dude, you know, a camera, I don't have these cell phones to where I could do
it.
But they're doing it at different times. Now it's kind of on the low because now they're spreading the word or whatever. And in particular, one, you know, there's two houses, but one in particular is doing it, was doing it 24/7 up until about a week or so ago. That all hours of the night, they'll be doing, you know, selling their Tabascans, their strips, and all that, and they'll be out there screaming and hauling all hours of the night.
High as kites, selling drugs.
Yeah, they're so bad, Marty, these two, you know, it's a male and a female, a couple, and they're so charcoal, it ain't even funny.
Wow.
You know, and you can tell they're, you know, very abusive drug dealers, and they're going down about a mile in the road to a methadone clinic and bringing their buddies up and partying like it's 1999.
So, Tony, you have this very emotional post that you made that I put on social, and we're going to take that walk with Tony, by the way, along California Avenue. Tony, last week you say a third body from drug-related activity was removed from one house. Three dead. One house. Three dead.
Yeah, it's the overdose. Well, this one was an older lady was on it, but the time before that, he was moving from squatting from house to house, and he ended up at another house. He was up with a drug house, and then they had to blow out, so he had one leg, and he got in this wheelchair and moved into an abandoned house in OD.
Wow.
And the coroner was up here at 8:30 at night, pulling the dead body, that his druggies evidently was the one they called the 911 and knew he was dead. But yet, the police don't patrol because they ain't got the time for it. And I love the police, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They do the best that they can. But, you know, it's an epidemic no matter where it is, but it's coming to the point, now this is overdose and one murder in the back of my alley.
Wow.
Since March.
Wow.
and the city says, you know, like in those weeds and all that, lean and clean. Well, when are you going to lean and clean it? Because now, you know, the property is overgrown into my yard. But yet the city, you know, got $10,500 to go down and clean geese poop in front of Acushur Stadium, but can't put a street light in my thing when the mayor is always opening up the budget.
It's almost unlivable.
Yeah.
It's almost unlivable, Tony. You're so afraid.
Right. I can't even go out. You know, I try to go to church every day and pray for some wisdom and guidance, not only for myself, and I'm not trying to be selfish.
No.
But everybody. And can't even do that because, you know, nobody has time. They promised me undercover cops up here to investigate, and they don't.
I'm on it, brother. And we're going to be there with you. We're going to point this out so they fix it, my man. Okay? Thanks for caring, my man.
Thank you.
Think about that. That's your life. Look out your window, drug deals. Look beside your house, dead bodies, overdoses. Is that the life you want? Because that's the life for Tony and the folks along California Avenue on the north side. It's not just downtown. It's not just the south side. It's everywhere. The war on drugs is never ending. It's that's trite and cliche for me to say that, but I'm in my 60s and I have been covering drug arrests and drug wars since I was 21. It's that bad. One of my boys sent me some video of my reporting when I was at NBC in Dallas 30 years ago. Same crap. Drug arrests. The drug changes once in a while. In Dallas, it was Jamaican gangs. What had happened, and this is endemic in every major city in America, they had these kids called Good Eyes. It was actually crazy. And they controlled the drug business in America, the Jamaican gangs, and they were scary, violent. And they sat these kids out in front of houses because they knew if they got arrested, they were going home to mommy. They weren't going to jail. So they would sit out in front of a drug house where they were selling crack, which destroyed American cities and destroyed African-American communities. That drug gutted African-American communities by the millions. It's insane what it did. And then it transitioned into heroin, and then you're just doing different arrests in different people in different cities. Now, fentanyl, And my point is there's absolutely no end to it and no end in sight. And it rips my heart out to see what's happened on the north side. So what happens is they put a methadone clinic in. That attracts methadone users. Fine. It also attracts cockroaches, drug dealers, criminals. So in the area surrounding the methadone clinic on the north side, half a dozen, Patrick knows this because there are some great restaurants over there. Maybe a dozen restaurants have shut down. Because what happens is, Patrick, the methadone clinic attracts criminals. And then they start passing out and overdosing in front of these restaurants, and no one goes to the restaurant. It has devastated that north side community, has it not, sir?
It has. And lately it's been ramping back up again.
There were some really good restaurants over there that are gone, Patrick. The proprietor said, we can't deal with this. It's horrible, isn't it?
It is. That corridor has really gotten bad again. So the crime has ticked up again. Yep. People breaking into cars.
Yep.
It's where people don't want to go over there, especially as it starts to get dark in the evenings for dinner or a cocktail, because it's just not necessarily the safest place to be.
And my brother, the entrepreneurs who spent their life savings to open these restaurants said, to hell with it. I can't deal with this. It's sad. It's tragic, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got to protect their employees and their customers. If their customers aren't coming, they've got to move their business somewhere else.
So Tony is spot on. Tony is afraid to go to church. Tony's afraid someone's going to kill him or shoot him or shoot him and his wife. And they see drug deals every day. Tony said 3 dead bodies from drug overdoses on his street recently. We're going to go over there. It's one of the walks we're going to plan live with myself and Mad Max. We're going to point this stuff out until someone gives a damn. This is not acceptable practice. This is not the way a city will grow. This is not providing safety and security for folks who just want to go to church. Tony is going to do a walk at 5:30 today. We present that video tomorrow, and then we will plan a walk with Tony as we see fit. It's a horrendous problem that needs, and as Tony says, we deserve better. Don't we all? Don't we deserve safety? Don't we? I think so.